Free Thinking
Welcome
Radio.
To Ever Beyond on Free Thinking Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Call in on 646-649-0866. That's 646-649-0866.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Ever Beyond. My name is Jeremy Perron, and we will be speaking this evening with a dear friend of mine who... We've spoken about her ET contacts in the past, and, you know, it's been in the past. It's been a thing that has just happened, and it's been, you know, we talked about all the different aspects of it. And many of these conversations have been on this show. But it turns out she has another contact this week, this last Thursday, between the last time we had a conversation on the show, which was about comets and Ellen and everything. So tonight we're going to go beyond the solar system, and we're going to be going beyond the galactic sphere. So without any further ado, let me introduce my guest. Greetings, Michelle. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, that's great. Yes, I'm very well. You've got a lovely, lovely signal there. That's lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Great, that'll be a first.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Stuff going on.
It's been quite a week, hasn't it?
Yes. I didn't expect, well, I never do. You know, I never expect to have the contacts that I have, they just happen when they happen. But I mean, I was just literally on the show last Sunday, and a couple days later, here I am having a glass of wine and start having a conversation with what turned out to be an extraterrestrial.
Okay, so... First of all, the first question that is going to be on everybody's lips: how did you know it was going to? How did you know it was an extraterrestrial? How did you know it wasn't some geezer?
It was some what?
Oh, sorry, some bloke, John, some what do you call them? A Joe, you know. It wasn't just any old bloke.
Yeah, just anybody. Right, absolutely. Yeah, you do have to be careful, you know. It's funny you ask that because, you know, the conversation started off quite normal. I obviously was there for a reason, but I didn't know it at the time. I was kind of really sulking over the fact that my son turned 18 and he didn't want me around. And I had just dropped him. Well, it's not that he didn't want me around. It's just that he didn't.
The best gift you can give him is space at this moment.
Right. So I was kind of, you know, licking my wounds over a glass of wine, and I stopped into this this restaurant, and I thought, okay, you know, I have nothing to do right now, so I'm going to go do that. And I realized later that I probably was prompted at some point to go there. And of course, I sit down next to this gentleman. I was sitting like at a restaurant bar type thing, and really nice guy. Really nice, seemed normal. I didn't feel any kind of weird vibe or anything. And he just kind of leaned over and started talking to me like a normal conversation. And like I said, I didn't get any kind of weird vibe from him, like he was going to try to pick me up or ask me for my phone. You know, like usually people start a conversation for a reason, and I'm just not having it at this point in my life. Mm. And so He was talking about his wife and all this stuff, and then he started asking me about different stuff of what I thought was going on in the world, and I thought, oh wow, you know, this is now we're talking. You know, I could have a good conversation with this person. And then he started asking me other questions about just random stuff, like what am I feeling about people? And he was expressing to me some of his frustrations. He was telling me that he has been trying really hard to be more patient with people, and that, you know, he was kind of irritated with people in general. And you know, of course, I offered my suggestion of, you know, I told him what I do. I just try to keep a comfortable level of detachment, so I don't get caught up in all this stuff. And he was, and then we talked a little bit more about that. I think he was really trying to feel me out as to where, what my attitude was like in life.
Mm.
How I was dealing with the current structure that we're in. And, you know, I realized that, of course, later because of the other topics we talked about. But I don't know, we went on about for about 20 minutes talking about that type of stuff. And then he turned to me and he goes, "What if I told you I'm an ET?" Just like that. I thought, you know, and I kind of took a breath for a second, and then I said, "Are you kidding?" And then he said, you know, he looked a little bit disappointed, and I said, "Well," I said, no. I said, "Don't worry." I said, "Why don't we have a real conversation now?" And he goes, "Okay." And right. We did.
So the first part was a preamble to determine whether it was worth speaking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked him, I said, what made him want to speak to me? And he said, I could see your light.
Ah.
So I guess it's one of the ways that they know that there's somebody that they could talk to possibly. But they don't know where we're at. That's the thing. And he did say that. Even after a couple hours of conversation, he said that he still didn't know where I was at. He said I was extremely evolved.
That's nice to know.
Yeah, absolutely. He said that he had not went into such great detail with a human. And I said, "Well, I'm not quite human. I'm a starseed." I'm still human, but you know, yeah. I told him I've had a few upgrades to help me out. So, so anyways, okay. So what we talked about, he did confirm with me. I asked him about the cycles, and he did say that yes, everything is in fact cyclical. He said that. And I kind of wanted to get back to his disappointment in humanity, because I did see that he was sincere when he was talking to me in the beginning. He was speaking about his self on a level, and I asked him if I said, "Why are you feeling so negative towards the human race?" I said, "Because." I said, you know, it's being as evolved as you guys are, and you know that we're trying so hard. You know, wouldn't you have a little more patience with us? And his response to that was, "Do you have any idea how long we've been here?" and I said, "Are you an Anunnaki?" And he said, "No, we are even older than that."
Oh.
Yes, which was really interesting to me. And then I asked him, I tried to ask him how he came to be here, how if he was born here. He didn't really answer those questions. The thing of it is that during the whole course of the conversation, he didn't like me to think. The moment I was thinking about something, he wouldn't even answer it.
All right. So he's trying to, it was the questions that you asked from the heart spontaneously.
Yes, exactly. The spontaneous ones. I mean, even if we were in an awesome direction and we were actually getting somewhere, the moment I looked away for a second, he could tell I'm thinking. You know, it was like, okay, done, next. So I had to keep myself in that space because, you know, it's not every day you get to talk to one of these people. So I thought, okay, I gotta pull it together quick.
Well, done that you did.
Yeah. Actually, he was pretty pleased. And not too long into the conversation, he wanted to know if I could, I don't know what you call it exactly. It's a step beyond bilocation. It's where you actually blip out and you go somewhere and you're conscious of it and the people could see you.
Right.
And you could come back. What is it?
I'd
to orb out.
Yeah,
he was fully expecting me to be able to orb out already, and I told him I couldn't, and he goes, well, I'm going to do it right now. He goes, I want to see if you can feel it, and he blipped out, came back. It's like a split second, and he goes, did you feel that? And I said, no, I didn't, and I said, but I can bilocate, and he goes. I said, I'm over there waving at you right now. So I was trying to impress him because he looked kind of disappointed when I couldn't orb out. So,
this sounds like the X-Men now. On you go.
Well, I didn't want to lose his attention, you know, because I wanted to speak to him more. So it's like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. To show him I was evolving.
Yep.
and then he actually was you know okay with that. He asked me if I could if I was telepathic, and I said I get visions. I said I'm not directly telepathic. I said I can't directly read your mind. I said I feel it more through knowings. I said I get it more through feelings. So that's the way I'm very intuitive, and that I can. There's other things that I could do that I don't have control over. And it was kind of interesting because he asked me. He said, "Would you like a teacher?" And I said, "Well, I haven't had a teacher for a while." And then I didn't even get to finish that sentence. And it's like something told him no, he couldn't. And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I can't do that. So whatever collective he's a part of, they said no.
Wow.
I know. So I was a little bit bummed out about that because... and then I told him, I said, well... Because he had told me that, you know, he's under he can only tell me so much because of the non-interference thing that they have. Law,
well, they always get you with that one, don't they?
I know. And I even told him, I said, gosh darn. I said, you know what? This has happened to me before. I said, you drop us breadcrumbs. You know, don't tell us very much. And we have to go figure it all out. We're not even activated. We're only operating on a couple of strands of DNA. And you expect us to figure it all out. And then you go and get frustrated with us. I said, that's not exactly fair. And he kind of laughed about it a little bit. Other than that, he was pretty emotionless. I mean, it's not that he didn't have emotions. It's just like... some of the things that we would laugh about, he was just not really amused. Like I tried to crack a joke or something like that, and he was just, no, not having it.
Stonewall. Yeah. Well, because that's what they say, is that, you know, the ETs, they don't have the emotion that we have.
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the things that they admire about us, is that we have all this emotion. We can feel really happy and really sad and all in the same body. You know, they apparently they don't quite get that, but, you know.
Okay. Oh, you want to hear something really interesting? And it completely threw me off. Mm-hmm. Here we're talking about all this really heavy stuff, and he's, you know, completely, I'll get more into detail of what we talked about later in a little bit, but he wanted me to explain more about when I told him I could bilocate, and I said, most of the time I actually kind of hover outside of myself to monitor my thought processes so I don't get caught up in life's traps. And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, that's pretty deep." I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "You're an ET. How could you say that is deep?" That just completely threw me off, because I'm thinking that's easy. But he doesn't get it. They don't, like, you know, it was just odd to me.
That is funny. So,
yeah. That's deep. That's weird. But and then he asked me if I, well, I had told him about the light beings experience, mm-hmm, that I had, and I told him about the three beings and how they split me outside of my body. And I told him, you know, about the one to the right, flashing symbols, the one in front of me, telepathically communicating, and the one that was over to my left, monitoring my body, up outside of my body. I said it was in a state, a complete state of epiphany. He referred to source, that I was connected to source at that moment. And he said the three beings, he said those represented a trinity.
Right.
And he said, "You know what that is." And I mean, I do, but I haven't connected it exactly what it has to do with me entirely. So I just kind of told him yes, because I didn't want to go in that direction, because it there's more to that than that I probably could maybe in the future be negative, not because of what it is. It's because of the people that may be monitoring certain aspects of different people who have these types of experiences, that they have kind of plans for these people, and I'm trying not to give that too much energy. So so I just kind of, you know, went quickly over that. I told him that I was aware that the ET contacts run in bloodlines, family lines, and he agreed. He said yes, they do. And he really wanted to know, and he was interested, if there was anyone else alive in my family that I could talk to, or anybody that has had contacts that they're aware of it. And I said that not anybody that probably would be alive. And he wanted to know if I had any kind of invasive abductions. And then I told him, I said, "Well, I am aware that some of my eggs have been taken." And he was extremely interested to see how I felt about that. He wanted to know my emotions about it. Overall, what did I think about it? He was very interested in that. Mm. And I said, "Well, I really don't like to dwell on it, because there wasn't really much I can do about it. So I don't like to dwell on it." And then he said, "Well, there was actually something you can do about it." And really? Yes. And I asked, I said, "Well, did I sign up for it on some other like soul contract or something?" And he said, "No." He said that I had to have allowed it. He said that that did I agree on it on some level, And I said, no, not that I'm aware of. And he said that I had to have agreed to it unknowingly on some level. And that's when he really stressed the importance of merging my subconscious with my conscious.
Right.
And he said that that's what we all should be doing anyways, that because it connects us to our higher self. And it's almost, he said that you, and I have done this before, but I don't have control over it yet. It's not like I could stay in that space all the time, but you have like a bird's eye view, and you could see things in the ethers before they happen, because they manifest there first before they come into reality. So you can kind of navigate through your life. So if you have people who are trying to do something to you, or something's about to happen, you could just be aware of it.
Yeah.
So, and I said that's the same thing as above, so below. And he said yes. And let's see what else we talked about. Do you have any questions at this point?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you know, because this is exactly what I was thinking when you were saying it, you know, that you, did you have any control over it, and had you agreed to it? And I wondered very much, you know, was this an out of, what do they call it, out of incarnation experience, agreement that you've made to allow this to happen, or is this actually some kind of invasion?
According to him, it was an invasion. He said that I could have stopped.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, for the sake of just putting my mind at ease, I just allowed myself to think, you know, okay, well, I signed up for this on some soul contract or something, you know, but apparently not. The other thing, too, is that the last time, see, there's different ways it's happened. I mean, they've actually taken my eggs, and then they've also taken a fetus.
Yes.
From me. So to where I was followed, and this was, you know, a little while ago, wasn't too long ago, and I heard clearly, as plain as day, that you're going to get pregnant. And I thought, whoa, what's that? No, I'm not.
So hang on a second. You were just kind of going around your daily business, and you heard the voice, the feeling, or you,
it yeah, was like I heard a, it.
All right.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard it in my
skull.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but we you know, we are aware of voice to skull as well.
It just
you know, but
and then I thought. You know, and then I thought, no, that's not going to happen, you know. And then I just didn't, what do you know?
Yeah.
Unfreaking believable, because I don't plan on having any more kids. And so that was a shocker. But at the same time, when he said that, the very fact that they told me, did I listen? See? So I guess that was the.
So maybe they suggested it and you acquiesced, and that was, as far as they were concerned, that was an agreement.
That was an agreement.
Ugh, scunners. What scumbags? Yeah. They are.
No kidding. Because I'm just gonna, just for the listeners, you know, just really quickly.
Yeah. Just run by it, because I mean, you've told me this story before, and it's, to me, if it had happened to me, I would have felt, you know, just like tiny and horrible, and like wanted to do away with myself. So this is an extremely powerful thing. So do run this one out for our listeners.
Okay. Well, it turned out that the father, and I know this is going to sound kind of bizarre for a lot of people, but it is what it is. And this is, I mean, we really have to start opening our minds to a lot of, now I know a lot of the listeners will understand exactly what I'm talking about, but you know, this is what's going on. There are many races here, as he said, and this can clearly happen, because it happened to me. The father was actually part of the Galactic Federation, and he's has a physical form. And probably similar to the guy I was talking to, an ET in a physical form, but he was really adamant about having a relationship with me, and I was keeping away from him, keeping away, even though we had amazing conversations and everything. I wasn't too convinced about it, but he was incredibly charming and all this stuff. So I, needless to say, I ended up getting in a relationship with him. And I heard that voice that you're going to get pregnant. Of course, we had been going out a little while already. And not to get graphic, but we were using protection and it broke.
Uh-oh.
That day. Mm. And the chances at my age, I'm going to be 40 in December, of getting pregnant like that are really slim. And that's exactly what happened. And through, I actually he convinced me to keep it because I really thought at this age, I you know, my son's turning 18 and my daughter's 16. I mean, I almost have my wings, so to speak. And I thought, oh my God, to start over again. But he convinced me. And one of the other things too is that I felt a lot of activity around me. At one point, they even put a sphere, an orb, inside my stomach. And they were always doing a lot of work on me. And, well, it turns out the being that occupied my body for a while is a very, very advanced and good being. Thank God. You know, but, and I'll tell you why I know that in a minute. Mm. And I had a lot of that kind of activity around me. And then I was starting to be followed by people, different people. I'd noticed them. And then I actually had a situation to where I had to go into the emergency because it felt like my heart was racing really fast. And I, quite honestly, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Mm. And I ended up going to the emergency, and they did an ultrasound, and there was no fetus, and there should have been something that showed up on the ultrasound. And so they told me, okay, you're having a miscarriage, you're, you know, this is what's going to happen, all this other stuff, this is why you're feeling this way, and they sent me home. And, you know, in a way, I was a little bit relieved. Mm.
But at the same time, you know, as a woman, a miscarriage is quite a big event. You know, this is not something that you're just going to walk, that you'd not normally walk home from the hospital or drive home from the hospital, you know, and going to have a bag of chips.
Right, exactly. But I wasn't having any of those symptoms because they told me that I was going to start bleeding and all this stuff. Well, I wasn't. Hmm. And I was still sick. I had morning sickness and everything else, and I thought, okay, if I had a miscarriage, I know I'd be bleeding, first of all. Well, so they had me come back for a checkup, and they did a blood test, and they did the HCG levels, and the HCG levels had doubled since the last time I went in. So they're like, oh, you're still pregnant. Oh. So I thought, oh my God, what the heck is going on? So they wheeled me into the freaking ultrasound room, did another ultrasound, no baby. They couldn't see it. And so that went on for about, and they did another ultrasound, and then before I knew it, I was at home, and I had been noticing people, like, follow. You could tell when people are following you, and you feel their presence. And then I got a call from the emergency room, and they said that I had to come in immediately.
Because they didn't see the fetus there in the womb. They saw it in your fallopian tubes?
Well, that's what they said.
That's what they said.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
But check. Okay, here's the crazy part. They said that I could, when I got into the emergency room, of course, he was there with me. He was, you know, pretty supportive about the whole thing. And they told me that all of a sudden a team of two nurses and a doctor come in with a clipboard to sign. They said that I could die at any moment and I have to go into emergency surgery. And they said that the baby is in my fallopian tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see where they had seen that, because for as many weeks as I was already as a woman, I know that my fallopian tube would have already burst and I would have already died.
That's right, because I mean, this is what we call an ectopic pregnancy, and I know I have a couple of friends, and it's extraordinarily painful. It's excruciating.
That's true.
If you have one of these things, and yes, you have to be immediately operated on. And however,
well, there was no pain. No, I wasn't dead yet. and here I am, you know, going into emergency surgery. Now, they told me that I would have an incision where they'll take out part of my fallopian tube. You know, of course, they're telling me about the procedure that they're going to do and everything. And I went into emergency surgery. And by the way, yep, one of the guys that had been following me when I was in the emergency room, he came into the emergency room, leaned into the admittance desk, and they let him in.
Uh-huh.
So about that point,
some geezer. Just some bloke.
I am literally freaking out. I thought, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to die, because there's several times they did stuff like this to me where I didn't think I was going to walk away from it, actually. Mm. And this isn't coming from the good ETs. This is another group entirely. And so, you know, because it was an emergency surgery, I didn't even get a chance to call my kids or anything. So I was pretty, pretty upset about the whole thing. I go into surgery. I wake up and I'm signing, you know, they're telling me about the procedure they did, and I looked to see if, you know, how bad the scar was going to be.
Where the scar is, and?
And there's no scar.
No scar.
They said that it turned out that it was not an ectopic. They had another name for it, and they said they did a DNC instead. That's ridiculous.
No hairline wounds, are there?
Nothing. Hmm. Nothing.
Well, they can work on molecular levels if that's, you know, what they need to do.
Well, I talked to Aaron about it, and he said that they do this kind of stuff a lot, where they actually take the fetus. Now, here's the thing. I was in contact with him. It was a boy. I was in contact with him for quite a few months, where I would see him through my mind's eye. We were connected for several months, and he was in a tube,
mm-hmm,
in a very sterile room. Mm-hmm. And this is after, of course, they took him. Now, while I was pregnant with him, he would come and go. Like, I would literally feel his being, like, leave.
Mm.
And come back. It was really bizarre, the whole thing. And so, that happened.
So you got a strong sense of his appearance, his vibration.
His vibration is just incredible. I was also told that he couldn't. There was two things that went on. I was told that they took him before the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So there was bad people that were going to take the fetus and use it for something else. But I was told he was taken before that happened, before they got him. However that works, I don't know how that works. Less than a year later, I was aware that he was a full-grown adult. And I even know his name, but I can't I can't say who he is.
Of course not. That for security reasons. No.
But let me tell you something. He's on the good side. And he's helping.
Mm-hmm. He's what we'd call a white hat. It's in the genes, probably.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I've had so many...
So do you want to take a break and I can put a tune on or something like that?
No. I'm fine because I know his... I feel his presence around and physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. It was hard on me, but I know the outcome of it, so I'm okay. I'm very okay.
Okay, because I'd really love to play a bit of Pink Floyd's Embryo. Excuse my my sense of humor. So, meanwhile... So you're okay. So you've just been wheeled home, groggy from anesthetic, or did you come
that? They kept me in the hospital for one day,
right?
Which was even kind of odd because for a DNC, they usually don't keep you. The whole thing was really bizarre. They wanted my. Of course, they took blood and all this other stuff. I mean, I don't know. My DNA is activated, so maybe they picked up something that, you know, maybe I was like a temporary guinea pig for a second or something. I don't know. Or maybe they just couldn't figure out why they couldn't see the fetus, but they knew he was there.
Well, I mean, perhaps, you know, they thought this being would be there. They may want to grab it. And stick it in their own tubes, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly what Aaron said. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that's not me just being mad and paranoid. Yeah. Unless Aaron is as mad and paranoid as I am. But
Being that he was
he was part of the team that used to do it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he did that side of it. I know he did my labs, but he was very well aware of this, and it apparently is. A very common thing. Now, the thing of it is that, you know, they don't know who's going to come through the vehicles, which would be the mothers, and they do try to capture these beings. They don't want them getting to where they're going because it's not good for them.
Right. Hang on. There's too many thems there. Let's just can we outline some of the factions involved here? Because this is definitely a faction kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes.
First of all, Aaron. Who's Aaron? Yes. Remember, it's a completely different audience, and people may not know who Aaron is.
Okay. Aaron McCollum. He was he's a whistleblower. He was part of Black Ops, became a good friend of mine and a lot of people from the Wolf Pack. I was prompted to contact him. It turns out that he has connections with the Arcturians as well. So there was a couple of reasons why I was prompted to contact him. I did get some answers of some things of myself personally. Not that I'm involved in any of those programs or anything, but there were certain reasons why I would talk to him. You know, it's always like that. There's always reasons for everything, even if they're not clear up front. But this is pretty clear because I got to ask him directly, and I knew he knew what he was talking about. So, so that's Aaron.
Right. So there's Aaron. And then... So, there's the group that you're contact this week. Can we give him a name somehow? Can we call him Mr. Thursday? I don't know.
Mr. Thursday. Sure. It's so funny. I didn't even get his name.
No. It's funny. It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really funny. Okay. So, Now, when I asked him, going back to when I asked him if he was an Anunnaki, and he said, no, that we've been here much, much longer. He said, do you know how you were created? And I said, yes, I do. I said, we were genetically manipulated. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, our DNA is composed of many of the races. And he said, yes, that's very true. He said, do you have any idea how magnificent you guys are? He goes, if you only knew how powerful you are. And
they keep telling us that, don't they? And here we are, and I think I haven't got enough petrol to get me to Tesco's. You know, how powerful is that? How, you know, what magnificent being can't get enough fuel, can't get enough money to pay for fuel to take them to the supermarket? I mean...
Right. Well, I mean, it's because of all the our belief systems and everything, and the construct that we're a part of. I mean, we're limited so much that, you know, we are living in these societies that require... And especially the starseeds and the people who are waking up, they have a hard time buying into this system to begin with.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, typically we're not going to have the regular 9-to-5 jobs. We're probably not going to have very much money because we're not buying into the system like everyone else is. And that's not a bad thing. It's just they're not awake yet, or they don't see it for what it really is. And that's okay. You know, everybody's on their own path, but it's really difficult when you're awake. I mean, we always talk about this.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't go to work until I'm practically out of money. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like participating in a system I don't believe in.
Yep. And even so, I feel exactly the same. In fact, you know, I don't do the 9-to-5 unless it's the other 9-to-5. Generally, you know. So,
or we create our own businesses or whatever, yeah. But even that, I mean...
Yeah, it's just because you have to hustle and lie.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel right. I totally understand.
Yeah, so where does it put us? It puts us where we're broke.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're magnificent, right? But...
Yes, we are. We are, oh my gosh. And he had like a twinkle in his eye when he was saying, I mean... Yeah. I didn't see that much emotion, but he kind of like stepped it up a little.
Uh-huh.
He said it. And I felt really, really good about that, you know, because I am aware of it. I don't know exactly entirely what we're capable of, but, I do know that once we start activating, we're going to find out real quick what that means.
Well, what came to mind there was that sequence in the third Matrix, when Neo discovers that not only in the Matrix does he have superpowers, but also in the real world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he points his hand up to the squiddy, and the squiddy just, there's this and the squiddy just falls out the sky. So, and yeah, we hear about people who say they can do that sort of thing with the weather. Well, maybe we should start with the weather, because I was talking with a friend this afternoon, actually, about cloud busting. And he says he does it on a regular basis. you know, you can do it as a team, or you can do it with one or two of you. And you can show somebody how to do it. And it's natural. It's a natural ability of ours to bust clouds. We can dissolve clouds and change the weather. But at the moment, what we do is we program crystals to do it, and that's what we call orgonite. And you can so we're manifesting things that are doing it. So it's just like that, you know, because they say,
yeah.
Well, you say to an ET, well, we can't fly. He said, yes, you can. You can book a ticket from London to Los Angeles, can't you? Yeah, I know, but it's not us flying, isn't it? You think you're breathing?
I can actually hear an electrical storm coming before anybody could visually see it.
Oh,
weird stuff like that.
I quite like that feeling.
Yeah,
only if it passes. Well, it's actually, it has to come to the climax. Otherwise, it's just like tension. You know, strange. What's that word? Not tension. Oh dear, I'm having terrible trouble. And that's another thing. People are having terrible trouble remembering words to things.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I.
Even people who are supposed to, you know, my friend Susan, she's brilliant. You know, she's genius, and her husband was saying that she keeps forgetting words herself, and you know, so it's not, you know, it's all of us really. It's not just us.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not by any means a public speaker or anything. I just try to share my experiences and maybe shed some light on some things that or even encourage people to embrace more of the things that are going on. It helps the collective. But I get really stuck for words sometimes. And after I do the show, I was like, what was that?
Well, anyways. You find that once you can relax and get out of the way, your higher self takes over, which is actually the real communication and the real message, because that's what we are. You know, we are our higher selves. And this is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. There was a live channeling that I heard from the Pleiadian Ninth Collective. Now, you know, I have a tongue-in-cheek attitude towards these because you just have to. But I love them. They speak with an Australian accent. And not only that, but they channel through two different channels.
Uh-huh.
And they say the same things, and they, like, completely sew the sentence. It's very strange. Anyway, one of the things that they were saying is this is the time when we let go of the belief that we contact our higher self and that we recognize ourselves to be that higher self that we previously thought we were contacting at a distant way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
That's kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's what he was really getting at and trying to remind me, I guess. Other things, huh?
Go ahead. One of the other things.
Going back to if the whole agreement thing of if we allow, and it's really our lack of connection to our higher self, our being our higher self, that allows these entities to come in and mess with us.
Mm.
It's really what it is. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So it is our free will choice. It's just, it's manipulated because we're cut off to who we really are, or we don't have the sight or the ability quite yet to say, no, you can't do that. I'm a sovereign being.
Yeah.
So it's really important, and he really wanted to stress that it's important for us to realize that.
So going back to one of the things that they said to you was the connection between the conscious and the subconscious.
Yes.
Can you run that one by me once again?
Yeah, well, I asked him, I said, because it kind of spun my head a little bit, you know, because I was trying to grasp everything he was saying. And I said, is there anything that you can tell me that would help me to evolve more? And actually, when I said that, he ended up saying that. He had a really difficult time putting it into words. And I think it was even a little bit more than that. I think it was one of those things that it may have kind of been pushing on the no interference law, because we kind of have to figure this stuff out by ourselves. Yeah. He said it, and now you got to go figure out how to do it.
Yeah. It was a kind of, how do I put this moment?
Right. And it really felt like, I know full well he could tell me exactly how to do it, but that's handing it over on a silver platter, and they can't do that. Yeah. So, and then one of the other things while we're talking about the entities to watch out for and the importance of recognizing this and doing something about it, I told him that at least a couple, three, four times, people have channeled information where these beings are saying they're going to come save me in their spaceship. And I said, to be quite honest with you, I don't feel comfortable with that. And actually, Jeremy, you were there in two of those conversations where Trace
Elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tripping with Trace Elements is her show.
Yes, her. Were you there on that phone call with the group of us when she channeled that group?
I believe so.
Yeah, well, they said that they were going to come save me. And remember, they called me and Dave the racist mother and father and all that stuff.
Oh, no, so I wasn't on that one.
Oh, you weren't?
Not on that particular one.
That was bizarre. That was really bizarre. But they said that they were going to come save me because the Earth is going to come to an end, and that they were calling me mother. And they had an accent, and I was like, oh, shit. Sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But then another time, David Farman was on a call with us. Mm-hmm. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And he was channeling, and they said the same thing, that they were going to come get me. And you even said, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Mm.
You said you shouldn't need saving, and I completely agree. But he was just channeling beings. And Mr. Thursday was very uncomfortable with that. He said no.
Yeah. Oh, then said, thank you, Mr. Thursday. Thank you, Mr. Thursday, yes, for confirming my... Because as I was trying to explain earlier on when I do readings and things, it feels like I'm making it up. So it feels like it has no validity whatsoever.
No, it got you. You're getting confirmation because he told me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a good feeling about it either, because I was thinking, why do they need to come save me? Yeah. What is that? Yeah. You know, and besides, I've had visions of things that I don't need saving.
That's right. Everything's fine.
Trust me, I don't need saving. None of us do.
No.
And so I did want to mention that. And then, I don't know, did you want to... he was very, very pleased that I was in touch with my star families, not only with the light beings and the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
See, for the audience, I have many different types of contacts. They show up in different ways. It's not often they show up in a physical form where I get to have conversations with them. Usually it's telepathic, and they show me visions and show me other stuff. But it's a lot of fun when I get to actually talk to one in person. I told him about the channeling that you did for my, I guess it was at one point my home planet.
Hmm.
And the group.
Yeah, well, Jeremy channels, here's a new one. Only happened once. And it was the strangest feeling, because I didn't want to step outside of my own body. You know, I wanted to remain here. So I kind of just moved myself aside and said what I was hearing. And that was the most bizarre thing, because it was like talking for an entire stadium, and not just imagine like the Super Bowl, but about 10 times bigger than the Super Bowl. Hundreds of thousands of beings in there, all kind of thinking or speaking as one. And you know, it just that blew me away, and I've not done it since, but because it was, I don't know, I wasn't entirely comfortable about doing it, but I knew that in order to serve the moment, I could. And so here we go. We can all chat. You know, if I can, I'm just some bloke. I'm just a geezer.
Well, not quite.
but you know, really, I come from just a very commonplace, and so this is like, if I can do it, anybody can. You know.
Well, you're pretty open. I mean, you're sensitive to a lot of stuff, and you are, in fact, in contact with your own star family as well.
Yeah, who seem to be from the future. I mean, come on, how bizarre do things get, you know? Okay, so he comes in from the future, having arrived in the past anyway, and they come, and, you know, so I don't need saving either. So I'm here for the show. And it's like we got a grandstand view here of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's working. Everything's working out. We're seeing a lot of disclosure in the media starting. And mm-hmm. that's spot on with what David Wilcock was saying a couple of months ago. He said that there was a meeting where all the different alphabet soups, it must have looked like alphabet soup that day, because it was, you know, all the alphabet soup agencies, as they call them, meeting together and saying, well, guys, we really have to tell them, because otherwise they're going to find out and it'll be much more of a shock. So most, you know, half the world already knows it, more than half the world. I don't know how many people do you think, what do you reckon, 60% of people believe in UFOs, believe in aliens now?
Well, statistically, I don't know. He did say that less than 1% of the entire population is as awake as I am.
Yeah.
And he said that in order for them to do full disclosure, the collective consciousness, he said, every last person of our collective has to, I can't remember the exact word that he used, but he said that they have to be okay with it. Like, it can't, that's part of the interference. Like, they can't impose in any way.
I see. But the Dark Cabal can put in alien invasion movies and spread them all over the media just when we need to have the acquiescent sense. I see. That makes sense. And then there's all these... Dawkins.
Oops.
I don't like Dawkins. He says, if ETs are going to be aggressive. Really? How do you know, Mr. Dawkins? Mr. Arch Skeptic? Anyway, he's running interference in my opinion, and there's a few. Mm-hmm. But I'll step back and let you speak.
I mean,
shall we talk about factions, Michelle?
Sure. Send me in a direction.
The groups, right? Mr. Thursday is from some group, right? And then your now adult child is from some other group, and there was another group that was in the hospital. So how do all these relate, and can you give them names, or can we give them some kind of symbolic representation? B, and C,
right.
Rockefellers, Rothschild, you know.
It's interesting that you said that, because it kind of just led me into what we'll talk about next. In he had said something about our ascension, I'll get into that in a second. But the point I'm trying to make is that I said, which collective are we talking about? And he said, that's a very, he was very, very impressed with that. Mm-hmm. He said, exactly, which collective? So there's many, many, even though the ET, obviously there's a lot of different collectives going on.
As many stars.
That's what he said. He said, leading into that a little more, he said that he said it's almost unimaginable how many star systems and other planets and other civilizations that they have seen in the past or are continuing to go on that are going through the same evolutionary process that we are. I thought that was interesting. It's not just us. And he said that from what they have seen, it has been somewhat disappointing so far.
I see. And is that because there's an expanding wave from the galactic center that, you know, it's passing through all these different civilizations, different planets and star systems? And it's like this is the big evolution wave, and it's turning out to be a bit of a damp squib for the galaxy.
My personal opinion, I think that we probably have such a collection of DNA that it makes us, he said we are gods.
Yeah. So let's just quickly examine that, right?
Okay.
We know from psychology that there's this mechanism called projection. Whereupon you meet someone. My God, they're amazing. You know, they know my thoughts. We're so together. You see in that person everything that you would, all the qualities that you would ascribe to a god. Isn't that right? You worship a lover, a partner, sometimes like that. Now, we know from psychology that this thing, projection, exists, okay? So, this lover of yours could be any old geezer, right? As it were. You know, could be anybody. But, because of the way your vibrations vibrate, you are vibrated to the point when you feel like you're in the presence of a god.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What we actually have been traumatized out of is recognizing that that's not the other person that you're feeling, but you're feeling your higher self and your own angel of the presence, as they call it in the esoteric literature. And so whenever you're in love with someone, what you have to do is recognize that that feeling that you're feeling that is them, that's you. That's really hard to do, but if you can step outside of your body and allow that other being to go in, and then you will feel who you really are. And I think that's where the twinkle in the eye comes from Mr. Thursday.
Right. I mean, everything is just a reflection.
Yeah. Wow, reflection. That's so cool. That's a really cool thought. Did you get that?
Did that make sense? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Completely.
Okay, so this is bringing it together, and this is bringing the conscious and the subconscious together, because, like, these are the two things. It's the conscious mind. It's like the conscious mind has kind of occupied all the space that the subconscious mind could also occupy. And it's like it actually can't stand the presence of the subconscious mind because of all the weirdness and randomness and uncontrollability of it all. And so your conscious mind is either there, or if the subconscious mind bleeds in, it kind of disappears. It runs away and hides. And so you're entirely taken over by your subconscious mind. And you know, it's uncontrolled and uncontrollable and powerful and makes a real mess. And so you learn not to go into that place and not to be in the subconscious mind. But actually,
exactly. I mean, but that's where everything is.
Yes, exactly.
But we are programmed to think, no, don't go. That's
it's the same process. It's the alien invasion.
It'll ruin your construct. But that's what exactly needs to happen.
That's right. It's the alien invasion movies. entirely the equivalent of the alien invasion movies. We've been programmed to not go there.
Right.
All right. So, how do we evolve, Michelle?
Oh, my gosh. I have, you know...
You asked him that question. Do you get the answer yet?
He did not give me the answer.
Yes, he did. He gave you a clue. It's what I've just been talking about.
Well, I said part of it is projection.
Yeah.
And he said, yes. So, but, you know, you've got to imagine. Here I'm you know,
yeah,
kind of sulking over my whole son thing.
That's right.
Having a glass of wine, didn't expect to have this conversation, so I was really caught off guard. And then I was getting all this information, and some of it was like half answers, some of it was clues, some of it. So my head's spinning at this point. Oh. I mean, the last thing I thought that was going to happen to me is I was going to be talking to an ET that day. So I wasn't exactly like clear.
Can you describe in a minute anyway?
Checking myself out and trying to do all kinds of stuff to keep him there.
Yeah. Shell, can you describe him? I mean, did you see him standing up? Or was it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he was Caucasian looking,
mm-hmm.
and he was older. He had gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these really, really kind of deep set blue eyes, but he had kind of dark circles under his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
What,
like somebody who didn't sleep much? Or like the Pope?
Kind of, yeah.
Like the Pope?
No, I don't know. He just had these like kind of sunken eyes, mm-hmm. a little bit, and they were... not if somebody were to look at him and pass by and say, oh God, you know, no, it wasn't that bad, but you could tell there was something different about his eyes, and he did have dark circles under his eyes.
Mm. Did he appear, wealthy or poor or, you know, construction worker? Did he have those, you know, was he, you know, neat? Was he ultra neat? Was he exceptionally neat?
Yeah, he was a perfectionist. He does have a normal life. Mm-hmm. He's married. He's his profession is he designs like the veneer teeth.
Mm.
He has his own business. You know, he has like he's here participating.
And is he in contact with his people then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it was like at some points of the conversation, it was like he was communicating while we were talking, because it was like I said earlier, when he said, you know, would you like a teacher? You know, I didn't even get to finish my sentence, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
All right.
So it's like he offered something and then like took it back. Well, obviously something communicated with him and said,
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. I thought, oh man, this is great. I'm going to get some answers. And then it got taken away. This really, I don't know if it was said to get where we might be or where our thought processes might be on some sort of level. I was really happy and excited talking about our ascension and that we're waking up and there's more and more and more of us and all of that stuff. And he said, well, we don't perceive the ascension anytime soon. And I said, what? I said, no. No, I said, a lot of us are here on mission. We know what we're supposed to do. he goes, well, can you give a date? And I said, well, you know as well as I do, we can't put a date on that. And he said, correct. And I said, well, if you were to put some sort of time frame on it, where would you say? He said, 20, 30 something.
No.
And I said, no, no. I think that's about the time I said, what collective are we talking about? And that's when he said, exactly. I said, because we've got this suppressed, our current collective that we're in now, which keeps everybody down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we've got these other terrestrial races with their opinion, because they've been all watching all these different races, including us. I mean, they have all the time in the world. Maybe not all the time in the world, because I think they'll wrap this up at some point. But they're not concerned with the whole 2012 thing. You know, it's nonsense to them,
mm-hmm.
to him. Not the Mayan calendar, because we did discuss that too, and I'll get into that. But they're not expecting us to wake up. It really is up to us. And I said, wait a minute. I said, but I said, what about critical mass? I said, couldn't we, and isn't that the purpose of critical mass? Isn't that the purpose of the light workers that are waking up so we can get to that point? So I said, it goes off like dominoes. Not everybody has to go through what we're going through. Because they'll just be awake, because we got to that point, that tipping point where it's just going to go off like dominoes. I said, and that will be our new consciousness, our new collective consciousness, and then we will evolve. And then he told me, he goes, I would be very happy and excited to see that. He goes, but whether you guys will do it or not. And he goes, do you think you'll have the ascension, you guys will experience the ascension during your lifetime? And I said, yes. And he said, why? And I said, because I saw myself shift into my light body from a third dimensional vehicle. And I did. And I really don't tell too many people about this, because, you know,
let's just leave it like that for the moment.
Well, I have to say something else, though, really quick, because anybody else who might be having this vision, because we all know we're experiencing maybe something or a vision that I saw or experienced, somebody else is seeing it somewhere else. And I just like to say this, because I had a lot of visions in my initial awakening that were very disturbing to me. For the first 2 years of my awakening and seeing that vision, I thought I had witnessed my own death, because I didn't understand what I was seeing.
Mm.
And that really bugged me. Until I understood what it actually was.
Yeah, it's I think they would call that preloading. It's like seeing the preview of the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would have been a little better if they would have allowed me to have those visions after I half understood what was going on. I mean, I got like slammed with all this stuff, and I mean, some of it was, if you don't understand what you're looking at, it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Could.
Well, I think. And what does he say? What does he say? Did he say anything about the false flag operations and anything like that?
No, I tried to bring up a little bit of the whole government part of it, and he just really wasn't too interested in it. Mm. He said their technology is
way ahead.
Yeah, it is not very, how did he put it? He wasn't too concerned with it.
Yeah. I see. And, did he speak, right, now, did we get through factions?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, so, oh, God. I kind of don't like to get into this particular area that I'm going to go into, because it does kind of give a little bit of energy to parallel possible timelines that are kind of like following me. And I try not to give them too much energy, but I can only speak from my experience in things that I deal with. So there definitely is a dark side. Absolutely. I completely acknowledge it. Everyone who's gathering information, putting the information out there, like Sam Muggsy, for instance, you know, it's incredible. It's important for people to know. If we don't know what we're dealing with, how could we protect ourselves?
Yes. Know your enemy. So, and know thyself.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to have a pretty good idea of the whole picture, so we know what to do and we know what we're dealing with. So there is definitely a dark aspect of this. It's part of the reason that the original organization contacted me. I told them about the organization, and I said, you know what? I said, they made a really big mistake. And he said, how's that? I said, because by the time they sent the ones to try to recruit me, I had already seen down into their structure, so to speak, to see what was going on. I said, they obviously didn't give me as much credit as they should have, because I was already much stronger than I think they anticipated at that point. Mm. And he was happy to hear that, because it showed that I was already advancing at that point, you know, so he was very happy about that. The other thing too I said is that another thing where they lost me is that they started talking about a level of immortality that would be really counterproductive to our natural evolutionary cycle. So I said that it can only mean one thing. I said any race that's trying to get off this planet or create vehicles in any way, shape, or form to not allow themselves to pass on and evolve in a natural way, I said that is not good. And he agreed. Okay, so there's the negative aspects of which would be the Illuminati, the all the different government secret programs and all that other stuff. Anything that's secret is not good anyways. And then there's, of course, the White Hats, I guess they call themselves, you guys call themselves. And then there's many, he said that there's many, many, many races here now. He even said, hold on a moment, I'm going to scan the room and see if there's any in this room now. It has a pretty decent sized restaurant, so I thought, oh my gosh, if he wouldn't be surprised to see one in the restaurant. We were sitting at the bar, but you could see the restaurant.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, how many are there?
And these are seen or unseen, are you talking about?
Oh no, they can acknowledge each other. We, regular people will not know the difference.
Mm-hmm. All right, and what's the name of this bar?
Well, no, it wasn't a bar. It was a Cheesecake Factory. I was sitting at the the bar. Yeah,
you're in a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
All right. Hang on. Sorry, excuse my anglicized mind, but it's like a factory with a shop. A shop where you can buy cheesecakes, but it's a main, and they export cheesecakes.
Well, they have a lot of different cheesecakes, probably more than anybody, and they're absolutely amazing. But it is a restaurant too. It's a decent restaurant.
That's what they do there in LA. They do cheese in a big way.
Or not Wisconsin.
Not Wisconsin. So. Oh, excellent. So, okay, so you're at this, and this is near your home, is that right? Did you walk?
Not too far. Not too far, but.
Do you walk? I've heard that Americans don't walk.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I walk just because I like it, but I drove there. It's not that close.
All right. Okay. And why did you drive there at that particular day? What prompted you to do that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I normally wouldn't go to a place like that by myself. I don't have a problem going anywhere by myself, but it was just an odd place to go by myself and to have a glass of wine by myself. So I was supposed to go. I was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And I even told him at the end of the conversation, I said, "There's no accidents." And he goes, "No, there's no accidents." I said, "We were supposed to talk?" He said, "Yes."
Hmm.
So, I mean, I've never done that before.
As I said, 2011 is the year of, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of that's been happening to me. It's like, I'm like, God, you know, this is, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing because, in a way, through these contacts, now a couple of things are going on that I could see. It's helping us to evolve. And it's also gives them a voice.
Yes.
Because here I am a couple days later, you know,
expressing their voice.
Talking about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And actually, this is possibly the conversation that was meant to be stimulated in humanity, and we're starting here. And I can see that there's a few of our soul brothers and sisters out there. This show, in terms of the call-in, is going to end in 9 minutes. That's the Blog Talk Radio. But that doesn't matter, because we have the channel on Free Thinking Radio. So anybody who's listening to Blog Talk Radio, do have a click. I will put on the... who's logged in? Somebody's logged in my account, and I've been disconnected from the thing, so I can't put it in there. So if you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio stream, please come to Talk Stream Live, and then my little icon is somewhere down the page, and if you click on it, it might go up the page, and that would be nice. Not that I'm attached to that or anything, you know, because, you know, I'm you know, I'm not ambitious, you know, but here we are, and I can see the Continuum chat is running, and the and I've got these beautiful things on my screensaver. I've got there's that little comet that we had a few years ago, there's the Earth from space. Isn't that lovely? And there's a Sombrero galaxy. Anyway, I've got to disturb that because I've got to have a look in the other chat room. Oh yes, and there's Dave, who I connected with today. So today is a very, very auspicious day. We could say that July the 3rd is the planetary independence day.
Well, 7 and 3 is 10, which has always been some sort of completion cycle for me. Like, I notice it.
So there you go. And then 11 is the next step.
Yeah. So I just want to say hi to everyone in the chat rooms. I can't see it because I don't like to open it because then I see questions come up and I get distracted. So I don't, yeah. I can't see who's there, but hi everyone, Dave and everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's been very interesting. Dave, you can listen to the archive and you'll find it very, very interesting. So yes, and hello to everybody in the Ever Beyond Continuum. There's a chat room that people who listen in can connect there, and that's what you're hearing on the show feed. Is you hear the as people are sending messages in that chat room there, but you can't stop it. It's a long process, so we won't bother with it just now.
Okay.
So we just live with it.
but yeah, what you were saying, and I've been I kind of got that after, because anytime I have these experiences, and I mean, for quite a few years, I was like this closet worker, light worker. I get these downloads and visions and everything, and I thought, there is no way I'm going to be talking about this stuff, you know. And oh my God, if somebody would have told me in a few years I would be talking and on radio and doing ceremonies and all that stuff, I would have just said impossible. There's no way I'm doing that. But it's interesting because I'm doing it now, but there's a reason. And I now, when I get these opportunities to talk to these people, it's not just a matter of wanting to share. I've got this like, gut feeling that I can't get away from, and I have to write or talk or do something to get it out there.
Express.
Yeah, it's very compelling. I mean, to the point where I don't even fight it anymore. I don't. I just say, okay, here we go. Out it goes.
Right. So, where are we? We're 5 minutes to the end of the Blog Talk Radio session, right? And it'll give us, you'll hear this silly lady talking on the thing. Hopefully now, by now, everybody who's on the Blog Talk Radio feed will have gone to TalkStream Live and connected to freethinkingradio.com, and then you click on Jeremy Perron and you come into a chat room there, and there's a player there that will automatically start up. Those of you who haven't done that yet, please try that, because that's where the show's going. It's always been there, and I'd encourage you to come back to that place rather than coming to the Blog Talk Radio, although there's a nice little atmosphere going on in that chat room too. Just trying to bring all the rooms together. There's like three going here, and
oh wow.
So for the Blog Talk Radio archive, I'd like to thank you, Michelle Long, for your contribution to the collective consciousness of humanity. This evening, July the 3rd, 2011. It does feel like quite a magical day. It's really magic because I woke up really early. if anybody knows me, like, you know, I got up at like 10:30, which is like some kind of, it's like the middle of the night for me normally. As I said, I work the other 9 to 5. And I've gotten so much done, and I've had a meeting in town with people, and again, it's the same kind of subjects that we're talking about here. And it's definitely, yes, it's about collective consciousness. And that is the evolution. The fact is, at this moment, I don't think we are going to change form or anything like that. But the way we interact will change form. Mm-hmm. This is the influence of the seventh ray into humanity. And this is the collectivization of our consciousness. The thing is that there's a lot of people who are resistant to that collectivization. They want to feel kind of personal and private and all of those things. And that's as well. That's fine, mm-hmm. but it's going out of fashion in a way.
Yeah.
Although that is what pushes us forward. So it's that
90 seconds
between them that makes this ride so interesting, don't you think, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Quickly, what's your website called?
Oh, it's www.beingoflight, but you've got to put a dash, being-of-light@blogspot.com. I just recently secured a www.starseedcatalyst.com. I haven't done anything with it yet, but I think that will be the next step in my contribution. That would be, I'm really stepping up to my purpose more.
Marvellous. That's lovely, Michelle. We, if you like, can continue. Would you like to continue?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We will continue on the other channel, the Free Thinking Radio channel. Come to freethinkingradio.com. And we'd like to thank you for listening to the BTR Archive. And I'm going to end the show at that point.
10 seconds. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you,
goodbye.
Lovely lady. Okay. So, there we go. So, I've only got two now. Two chat rooms to deal with. Ah, yes. There we go. So, let's go back to the Cheesecake Factory, shall we?
Okay.
I wish I had my theremin wired up. Do you know what a theremin is?
No.
It's a musical instrument, if you like. It's the very first electronic musical instrument, and it consists of a similar circuit to what they had in old-fashioned radios. And I don't know if you remember, but back in the old days when you had a radio, you would get the station in, you'd tune it in perfectly, you'd walk away and you'd lose the signal, and it goes zzz, and you and you walk back and the signal returns. Okay? So it uses that principle to make a note that goes and you put it through an effects pedal and it sounds amazing. And you hear it on A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. That thing. That's right, there you go. And Aristides Stead said Led Zeppelin used to use a theremin, if he remembers rightly. Yes, you do indeed remember rightly. So I got one here and I made it because I'm a mad professor. I ordered this thing from Harrison Instruments. You can buy one yourself. It cost about $40, and you get the circuit board and the main circuit of it, and you have to build the rest. You have to build the box and the aerial and things like that. So I ripped an aerial off an old transistor radio, and I made this little box by gluing bits of wood together, and then I covered it in purple velvet. And there it's sitting on my thing. I read it. Now I've been talking about it. All right. So anyway, go back to the Cheesecake Factory, and so you just randomly wandered into this place, and you're sitting at the bar.
Well, I had a thought. Yeah, I thought, where am I going to go? And then I thought, oh, I'll go here.
All right.
It wasn't at a table. It was at the. The Cheesecake Factories, they have it's not a bar,
it's a
regular
long
bar.
Counter. It's,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you could, you just have an appetizer or whatever. But I just felt like having a glass of wine, relax. I didn't feel like going back home, but there was a reason I was supposed to be there.
Interesting.
So, speaking of wine, he did look at my wine glass and he said, well, He goes, was there anything that you did to induce these visions and contacts or anything like that? And I said, I don't do drugs. I said, in the wine drinking, I started drinking wine after you guys started contacting me. I said, I'm not an alcoholic, but it has helped me through some pretty weird experiences. And I looked at him. He was sitting there drinking a beer, too. He had actually several at that point. And so he kind of laughed a little bit. And he said that a lot of people use mind altering drugs to have experiences, he said, and they connect, they'll be able to connect in to certain things, he said, but they're irresponsible with it, and he says, and they do nothing with it, the majority. Are you there?
Sorry. I had my I was going, yes, indeed. But I had my microphone turned down. I'm sorry. So I don't like to into the keyboard, so I turn the mic down, and when I'm speaking. Anyway, so yeah, oh, it's great. And Dave, the guy who I was speaking to this afternoon in person, because we've just formed a group. And I've tentatively called it Truth in Murray, because that's the county that we're in here, Murray. And Dave, who is the vital message in the Ever Beyond chat room, says, I've been in the Cheesecake Factory in Marina Del Rey 2004.
Oh, that's the nicest one I've ever been to.
Ah, so there you go. It's great. It's great. So, meanwhile, back in... back at the Cheesecake Factory, you're sitting there, and this guy sidles up to you, or you just sat next to him. Just
yeah, I sat right next to him.
Oh, he used the old magic there.
What? No, he said that he will do nothing to how did he put it to. Oh my gosh, what are the words that he used? He said that he will do nothing to influence or manipulate me. And I looked at him and I said, well, you couldn't anyways, because I'm a sovereign being.
I bet that impressed him.
I believe it did.
So... And then you sat next to him, and how long was it before, and how did he make his approach, or did you make an approach, or did you just speak to him, or?
Well, you know what, it was kind of like I wasn't paying too much attention to this, you know, minor details of things, not that it's minor, but it's like I believe he started the conversation with me.
Mm.
I can't remember if he turned and I, you know, said hello, just to be hi, and that's, I don't remember exactly. But, you know, all those other types of, I mean, trust me, my head has been spinning for the last couple of days trying to sort all this stuff out, because to be quite honest with you, the fact that he gave that date being so far out, it was kind of disturbing.
What,
to me.
Did he give an exact date? Because you said 2030.
No, he said 2030 something. He said, you know, just as I told him, when he asked me, you know, when I told him, you know, you can't give an exact date. And you know, he did agree with that. I asked him if he could, you know, what was there around time frame. And he said 2030 something,
mm-hmm.
around, you know, that date. And I did get a little frustrated with the fact that he said that, because there's so much that I've learned, especially in the last year, that would suggest that we would be and just things that I've seen and visions of my own and other, they weren't exactly visions, they were out of body experiences to where I saw the earth itself. It was kind of I don't know, it just didn't set with me very well.
I get you. It's like, what do you mean we haven't done enough?
Well,
kind
yeah,
of,
because
kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, and I told him. I said, I'm a representative for my Star Nation here. I said, as long as my feet are on the ground, I'm going to do everything possible while I'm here.
Maybe he said that to get that
fire under my
ass. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Ass. If you say ass, it's all right, because the FDA can recognize ass.
Sure. Ass. Thank you, because that's exactly what I wanted to say. It did fire me up.
Mm.
And he had like kind of like this weird smirk on his face, so I think that was the purpose anyways.
Yes. Oh, they know how to... Yeah, I'm not going to manipulate you. He said immediately manipulating you.
Right.
So Mr. Thursday has given us a few messages.
Yes.
Do you want to sum them up? Because, I mean, we've been talking for an hour and a half, and I know the number of people here has grown quite immensely since that time. So do you want to list a couple of his kind of major points of...
Yes.
Of, like, how can we evolve? How do we evolve?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's not that these thoughts have passed through my mind very casually. But after the conversation I had on that day, it did put the fire under my ass, so to speak, to look at it in a more real way. And I guess to motivate me quite a bit and to be stronger in my convictions of what I believe to be true. And that would be that it is all about our actions and are the ones of us that are awake. Now, the ones that are asleep, it's fine. They're doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. We're all one. But the ones of us that are awake, we absolutely have a responsibility to speak, even if we're not speakers. I'm not a speaker. But if we have some truth, something to contribute, it's important to share it now. It's important for us to all come together. No more bickering. We have enough of that to deal with. We can't be doing it amongst ourselves. We have to stick together, all of us. We have to support each other. We have to become active.
How does active mean?
Well, active in a way right now, because the structures haven't come down enough to where we have the urge or the motivation to create new environments for ourselves. It seems a little bit difficult, even me right now, because of my kids, even though they're bigger, you know, I can't exactly pull them out of school and go live where I'd like to live and all that stuff. I mean, we do have obligations. So what I think that we need to do right now is just focus on our conscious thoughts and how mentally project. Remember what he said. He said, you know, again, it's the as above, so below. Everything is manifested in the etherics first. It's our thoughts that are manifesting those thoughts in the etherics. And then the dominating thoughts, you know, because if they're focused on enough, that will become our reality. So we have a responsibility to become co-creators.
Right.
And we can do that now. We absolutely am completely convinced we can do that now. We just have to believe it. We have to have the focused intent and desire to do it. Because when I first started doing that, it took a little while. It's almost like a habit, creating a new habit. You're probably not going to think in that way all the time. You're going to go like kind of slip back and forth until all of a sudden you'll notice that is all of a sudden becomes the way you think all the time. So it's less of the negative stuff, less buying in, and now you're in a different mindset and it becomes really beautiful. And then the synchronicities start happening, and then you start having these experiences. You have more visions. You're more connected. It's actually a really, really beautiful thing.
That's amazing. And so, to go back to the what was for me the nugget of information that Mr. Thursday gave to us through you. Thank you.
It's 4:44 right now.
Ah, 44 here.
The thing that impacted me the most was the realization of the different collectives and how through we are the ones. I mean, the prophecies, they said they'll be a new tribe of people. We're it.
Yes. Seems that way, doesn't it?
And yeah, you know, I truly believe, I will tell anybody, I am a rainbow warrior. I am. Oh, it's funny. It's a really funny thing. When he asked me, or I asked him, I said, am I an ET? He goes, well, if you were, you would know it absolutely for certain. I said, okay, then I absolutely have to be a starseed because I don't feel right here. I said, so, okay, good. I'm not an ET. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just that I'm truly here as a representative. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I like to look at myself as neo-indigenous. And that was the only time he laughed. He laughed. And neo-indigenous is the new people. We are the Rainbow Warriors.
Right. The new indigenous. Because, of course, Neo stands for one as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
Very nice.
Very nice there.
Just to finish that thought, the question you asked. Now with us knowing that and knowing the responsibility that we have, because really it is us that is going to break us out of this collective consciousness that we're in, because the collective consciousness, that program that is running right now, is nothing but suppression, limitations, and so many different things that are so important to the higher knowledge that has been reversed to look bad. So nobody wants to touch it.
Yeah, it's back to that subconscious thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is what needs to be changed in order for us to hit that critical mass and create a new consciousness, an awakened consciousness, so we can ascend and get the hell out of here.
Oh yeah, well, I don't know where we're going, but
it's got to be better than this place.
Yeah,
because I'm done with this duality game. I am.
Oh yeah, yeah. So let's see. Now where is it? I'm just seeing if I can actually dig out a whole lot of love. There it is. I'm gonna play after we finish speaking. I'll play a couple of tunes, and I'm gonna play that Pink Floyd embryo track and the Led Zeppelin track, Whole Lot of Love, and then you'll hear what a theremin sounds like, and also people can enjoy.
But does that make sense to you? I mean, does that resonate with you and other people as well?
Well,
is that
Yeah, I mean, what's going? I mean, get some lovely feedback from the chat rooms here.
I do apologize. I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
So I can't see them.
She's right. The prison planet. This prison planet blows. Time to jailbreak.
Yeah. Perfectly said.
That's said. We call him because he's got a very. I wouldn't try and insult you by trying to pronounce your name, but bless your heart. And in fact, there's a great audience. We've got a great kind of listenership tonight from all over the place. We have at one time we had four people in Britain. Hang on, we got five people in Britain, 10 people in the States, some Canadians. Little clusters. It's so sweet. It's lovely to see you all. It's mainly West Coast and then East Coast, and there's one kind of down right south sort of. That looks like Texas. Is that Texas? Let's see. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Yes, Houston, Texas. Houston, we have no problem. Everything's fine. It's been a really excellent ride tonight, Michelle.
Oh, thank you.
And well, first of all, I'd like to, on behalf of the ever beyond continuum, and the other chat room, I'll add you all in later. To thank you for sharing this tonight, and it's been a real honor to be part of your expression. I do hope that you don't just keep it to this conversation, that the energy that has the fire beneath your arse keeps burning.
They love to do that to me too, because they know I'll respond. They're like, "Ooh, that's a fiery one right there. Let's go drop some information on her. She'll get it out there one way or the other."
Yep. Volatile. there's a Led Zeppelin thing. Anyway, we'll have that. We'll have that in a few minutes there. We could end now, or we could go on a bit more. Is there anybody in the Ever Beyond Continuum who wants to call in to speak? Because I can bring you into this into this conversation. Is there anybody there that would like to step up? Just kind of verbally put your hand up in the Skype chat room there. And I can actually take a call if anybody would like to speak just now. Well, there's always a few seconds delay between the announcement and it being received. So we'll just keep going. Any more?
What did you feel from this, Jeremy? Because you're very intuitive, and I know probably quite a bit of stuff is going through your head when we're discussing the different topics.
Yes. Well, I felt very, it feels auspicious. It feels like exactly the right time to say this, and I can see in the listenership, I can see who they are, you know, and I know them, and I know that they're ready for and ripe for this message. And
wonderful.
The message to me is fuse your conscious and your subconscious. And realize that if ever you've projected onto somebody else the attributes of a god or a goddess, that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That
absolutely.
Feeling of just absolute power and oneness and connectedness and joy, that's not them, that's you. And you're just using them as an excuse. Because you can't validate it for yourself. So tonight's show has been validation from that. I do believe. So
that was
I'm going to I'm going to take a whole lot of love up to the top of the hour, and then I'll play a little bit more, maybe a few mellow tunes, but I'm definitely going to play The Embryo by Pink Floyd, all 10 minutes and 54 seconds of it, just because I can. and I might play something else. I got quite a few very interesting and lovely tracks, so maybe I'll fill up till the half hour. So until that time, Michelle Long, thank you very much for your very inspiring words, and I feel that fire. So I would like to close the show. I'd like to give thanks to everybody who's been listening. The Wolf Pack, the Ever Beyond Continuum, the Vital Message, everybody who's tuned in on the Ever Beyond page. If you want to give me your Skype number, I can add you into the continuum. It's nothing special. It is special, but it's nothing special. It's if you put your Skype name in the chat box, I'll add you in as a contact into the box of past, present listeners, so that people can kind of connect with each other, because that's really what we've got to do now. It's a safe place, generally. You know, we did. Sometimes we get the odd patrolling piranha, but normally these things are fine. So
yeah, we've had to deal with a few of those. I just wanted to say thank you as well, and thank you for having me and allowing me to express what the information that was given to me.
You're absolutely welcome there, Michelle. Absolutely welcome. And so, thank you very much, Ever Beyond listeners. I'm going to come out of the... come back off the microphone and click these little buttons. Now, let me just think. I think I need to come in a couple of minutes on this one, because that's the... never mind. I'll sort that out. Until that time, we're going to have some Led Zeppelin, and you'll hear this device called the theremin. It's that kind of it's the sound that they used to make all the ghost movies with in the 50s, which is why the sound sounds ghostly. Okay, it sounds ghostly because that's what they made ghosts sound like. Yeah, things happen like that. That's how programming works. You know, as soon as you hear that Twilight Zone tune, you think, ah, yes, I can handle this. I'm in the Twilight Zone. Yeah, it's just as long as it's not on the way to work. Okay, thank you very much, Ever Beyond, and I'm going to stop the recording now and start Led Zeppelin. Good night.